The Sports Page, Volume 1, Number 25. Hiya, fellas. Welcome to the Sports Page, 25th edition. And here are the bold type headlines. Fairbanks wins Rail Belt Championship. Minor leagues want more authority. And Sammy Snead, victor again. Column 1. The final score of tonight's game at Anchorage, Fairbanks 25 and Anchorage 22, giving the Fairbanks Malamutes the Rail Belt Championship by virtue of 3 out of 5 wins. Anchorage won the game on Friday evening of last week, 23-25, after a single overtime period, and Saturday night's game was also won by Anchorage by the score of 32-29. Tonight's final score, 25-22, and Fairbanks gaining the Rail Belt Championship. Column 2. The minor leagues may make a demand for a louder voice in baseball's affairs following the meeting of a 10-man minor league committee in Chicago today. The committee will consider formal proposals for changes in the major-minor agreement, which expires next January. No proposals have been offered as yet, but it is known that some of the committee members favor greater self-government for the minors, and also believe that the minors should have a voice in the selection of a commissioner to succeed the late Judge Landis. The chairman of the Revision Committee, President Tommy Richardson of the Eastern League, puts it this way. Members of the committee have indicated they will seek certain changes, including a voice in the election of a commissioner, a right to make some of our own regulations, higher draft prices all along the line, and better protection against encroachment on minor league territory. Column 3. The request for better protection against encroachment originated because post-war air travel would make it possible for the majors to have clubs along the Pacific Coast and in southern cities. As a major-minor agreement now stands, a major league club can take over any minor league franchise by paying the league $5,000 and making suitable arrangements with the franchise owner, without regard for the stability of the league. There will be no more new baseball leagues for the time being. The head of the minor leagues, W.G. Braman, says he will not approve the applications of any more new leagues during the current manpower shortage. He also says he will discourage any suspended leagues from returning to active status. Column 4. The Seattle Ironmen took a firmer hold on first place in the Northern Division Pacific Coast Ice Hockey League last night. The Ironmen scored 5 goals in the closing frame to win 9-4 over the Seattle Stars. Meantime, the cellar-dwelling Vancouver Vanguards knocked the Portland Eagles 2 full games out of first place with an 8-6 victory. Vancouver scored 3 goals in the last period to overcome a Portland lead. Column 5. A former professional tennis player, Sergeant Al Rothschild of Camp Pinedale in California, won the men's singles tennis title in the 24th annual Fresno County Tournament yesterday. Column 6. Another jockey has been killed at Agua Caliente Racetrack. 2 have been fatally injured in the past 8 days. Yesterday, Charles Bianco of Brooklyn died of injuries suffered in a 3-horse mishap in the 5th race. Jockey Clinton J. Harrell of Miami died February 18 after falling from his mount. Column 7. Slammin' Sammy Snead is plenty hot these days, and when Sammy is hot, it's almost impossible to beat him. The touring professional golfers found that out over the weekend when Snead won the $6,500 Pensacola Open by turning in a 72-hole score of 267. That's 21 strokes under par. And it was 7 strokes better than Snead's nearest competitor, Byron Nelson of Toledo, Ohio. Snead had rounds of 67, 64, 68, and 68. Nelson won second place with 274. In a tie for third place with 275 were Claude Harmon of Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and Harold Jug McSpadden of Sanford, Maine. Well, fellas, that's 30 for this edition. See you tomorrow night, 10:40, with Volume 1, Number 26 of the Sports Page. The Sports Page, Volume 1, Number 26. Hiya, fellas. Welcome to the Sports Page, 26th edition. And here are the bold type headlines. Coast League Club starts spring training. Vince Hansen of WSC, nation's high BB scorer. And welterweight Jackie Cooper, suspended 6 months. Column 1. Four Coast League baseball clubs have started spring training. 16 San Francisco Seals turned out for the opening practice session in their home park yesterday. The Portland Beavers began their spring training at San Jose with 20 players on hand, 11 of them last year's squad. Only 5 members of the Hollywood Club turned up at Ontario, California for practice yesterday, but several others are reported on the way. The Los Angeles Angels have almost a full squad at their spring training camp in Anaheim, California. Column 2. Washington State College's basketball ace Vince Hansen has passed the 500-point mark in retaining his lead in the national college scoring race. Hansen scored 35 points in 2 games against the Washington Huskies to boost his season mark to 505 points in 208 field goals and charity tosses. The WSC star still has 2 games left to play and should set a new Northern Division Pacific Coast Conference record. Another Northwest Cage star, Jack Perrault of Eastern Washington College, jumped into second place during the week with 472 counters. Perrault has scored 190 field goals and 101 free throws in 29 games. Column 3. Welterweight boxer Jackie Cooper has been suspended from California rings for 6 months. The suspension order was issued after Cooper reportedly gave a poor showing against Freddie Dixon in a fight on February 22. Column 4. The next time you want to take off a few pounds, just challenge Mildred Burke to a wrestling match. This diminutive miss, who looks like a model, happens to be the women's wrestling champion. She is recognized by all wrestling associations. During the time that she has held that title, since 1936 to be exact, she has won every match she has been in, and that includes matches with both men and women. She says that wrestling for women is one sport that is here to stay, and that it will grow after the war because, as Miss Burke puts it, there are 150 women wrestlers in this country right now, and there will be lots more. The wax and waves are learning how. That means that things are likely to get tough for the Man Mountain Deans, the Ed Strangler Lewises, the Jumping Joe Savolds, and the other behemoths of the wrestling ring. Already, the slim 136-pound champ, who stands only 5'2" tall, is on the road toward making a sizable fortune for herself as a lady wrestler. Miss Burke now averages in the neighborhood of $25,000 a year, which, to coin a phrase, isn't exactly hay. One thing that the shapely young lady is quick to point out is that wrestling for a living does not rob a woman of her femininity. One look at Mildred in a black satin dress with high-heeled pumps, a gardenia in her shiny black hair, and 6 sparkling diamonds on her good-looking hands is the clincher to that argument. She says that lady wrestlers make very good wives, although the 29-year-old lady champ hasn't yet succumbed to the wiles of a member of the opposite sex. However, she says, I am very feminine when not engaged in a bout. I like to cook and sew, and I just love diamond rings and fur coats. I have 5 fur coats. Her love of diamonds and furs may be one of the reasons Miss Burke hasn't gotten married. It takes more than peanuts to pay for 6 diamond rings and 5 fur coats. In her decidedly feminine outfit, Mildred says, you see, I dress just like other girls, although a lot of people expect me to wear slacks or shorts and sport clothes all the time. Right now, the Marines are doing a special story on the lady wrestling champ for the overseas edition of the Leatherneck magazine. That will give the boys a good idea of some of the things that are going on here at home and should give them a decided incentive to hurry and get the war over with and come on back home. Mildred also hopes to give the boys a look at her curves in person in the near future if a proposed tour of the overseas bases is approved. A couple of nights ago, she trimmed challenger Mae Young in a match in Washington, D.C., and Mildred is scheduled to wrestle at Kansas City on February 28th. That's where she got her start in the wrestling business 10 years ago. At that time, she was a stenographer, but wrestling a typewriter proved too tame for the young lady, so she went into the ring. When she won her wrestling title in 1936, she became the first and only woman to hold the title. Being a determined little lady, she intends to hang on to it. Her training schedule is pretty rigid. Mildred says, I run 1 to 3 miles every day and make 80 body bridges in addition to swimming and riding horseback. Then, too, I also like to spend my spare time sewing, sunbathing, and taking care of domestic duties. One thing that the comely little lady wrestler doesn't have to worry about is her diet. The kind of exercise she gets is more than enough to keep her figure in shape. And if you want a date with Mildred Burke and can get it, just be careful. She might want to try out her famous alligator clutch or crooked head scissor twist. Well, fellas, that's 30 for this edition. See you tomorrow night, 10:40, with Volume 1, Number 27 of the Sports Page.
Tundra Topics time. Here's your favorite nightly resume of news notes for and about those Alaskans living off the beaten path and out in the many remote parts of the territory. The Bank of Fairbanks brings you this nightly service with the hope that you're enjoying it and that you'll send in similar items from your own communities. A recent visitor in the office of Delegate Bob Bartlett was Staff Sergeant J.C. Slenis of Ruby, who stopped in there during a 2-day furlough in Washington. Sergeant Slenis, who mined in the interior for a number of years, has been in the service during the past 3 years and variously stationed on St. Paul Island, Attu, Anchorage, and presently in Texas. Folks down in Flat will be pleased and happy to hear of the birth today of a 7-pound, 1 1/4-ounce baby girl to Mrs. Bob Atchison of that community. The youngster arrived at 9:30 this morning. Mr. Atchison, who remained at home in Flat, is with the Donnelly Shepherd interests there. Mother and daughter are reported doing well. In spite of the snow that sifted down over Fairbanks both yesterday and today, everyone who crossed the Chena Bridge was sharply reminded that spring isn't too far off. For there, firmly embedded in the Chena ice, was the pull for the local Fairbanks ice pool, with the bright orange flag atop it, defiantly visible through the snow. Mrs. Bella Nicholas of Ruby was a recent arrival in Fairbanks from Seattle. She's been receiving care at the hospital in Tacoma and was discharged not long ago to come home. She plans to return to Ruby sometime this month. Also looking forward to getting home and planning to get away tomorrow with Gillam Airlines is Andy Halverson of Sleepmute. He's been working for the airlines here for some time now, but plans to get in a bit of beaver hunting before the season closes. W.M. Williford, who hails from Eureka, over near Manly Hot Springs, is a Fairbanks visitor currently, but planning to get back to the hills soon. He came in with the Brennan Flying Service last Saturday. Williford, who has seen the territory at first hand from Nome to the 40 Mile, including the Kuskokwim and Koyokuk sections, is looking forward to a busy season of mining. Daniel Posnan and Robert Craig headed for Nome today with Wien Airlines. This was just the first leg of his trip for the latter, for he intends to go on up the coast to Kotzebue, where he will be with the Weather Bureau as observer. Washington, D.C. visitors of late have included Mr. and Mrs. C.J. Egan of Valdez, who've been seeing the sights there with Mrs. Egan's son and daughter-in-law, Lieutenant and Mrs. John Steadham. Lieutenant Steadham had just been graduated from Officers' Candidate School in Maryland and expected overseas orders shortly. Mr. and Mrs. Egan and Mrs. Steadham plan to visit friends in San Francisco before returning to Valdez. Fred C. Powers, NC manager at Circle, has been in town the last few days, but he expects to be on the homeward trail shortly, possibly tomorrow. Other out-of-towners visiting Fairbanks include William Herbert of Bettles and Leo Keogh, who's with the CAA at Nenana. Tundra Topics is one of the Bank of Fairbanks services for its out-of-town friends. In order to cover what's going on in as many different outlying districts as possible, you're invited to send in news items from your particular community. No matter how small the item may seem to you, your friends will be interested in hearing it. Just address Tundra Topics at the Bank of Fairbanks or KFAR.